Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys send me a violation notice in the mail. It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell does that mean?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Today we're going to talk all about public adjusting, especially after Hurricane Irma. Now, the question I have, what does a public adjuster actually do? What's the benefit of hiring a public adjuster? How much does it cost? And why can't my insurance company handle the claim? That and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. And George Keyes, founder of Key Claims Consultants, is with us today to talk about public adjusters and what they do for you versus an insurance adjuster. A little background on George. He's an expert, large loss consultant, internationally recognized appraiser and coverage expert, and has over 38 years experience in the industry. He actually started his career on the insurance side of the business, but shortly after Hurricane Andrew hit, he switched gears because insurance adjusters went from paying claims to looking the other way. So George became very passionate about assisting policyholders and processing their claims to maximize their award and what they're entitled to. We also have with us today Suzanne Winford. She works alongside George as their marketing director, and she's our go-to source when it comes to answering questions our communities have. So welcome to the show, both of you.
Hello, thank you for having us.
You look pretty good for being in the business. How many years?
Over 38 years, right?
Over 30 years?
Well, I started when I was 2.
In the room. Yeah, oh, okay. That number keeps changing, right?
That's right.
Okay, George, let's just start out. I think most people have a good handle or have at least heard of an insurance adjuster, but what is a public adjuster?
Well, that's a good question. Most people in the general public have never heard of the profession of public adjusting. Most people think of an adjuster as only the adjuster that works on behalf of the insurance company.
Right.
What a public adjuster does is a public adjuster only represents the individual policyholder. The insurance adjusters themselves, there's two different types of insurance adjusters. You have a company-employed adjuster, and then you have what's called an independent adjuster.
Right.
The company adjuster works for the insurance company. The independent adjuster works as an independent for several different insurance companies, kind of like a 1099 exchange.
All right.
But a public adjuster represents only the policyholder.
Now, does the independent adjuster actually get hired by the insurance company?
Yes.
Why don't they use their own adjusters in-house? Maybe they're over busy. I mean, maybe there's a hurricane there and they have too much, or
How does that work?
Precisely, especially right now, even there's not enough independent adjusters typically to go around. Therefore, they bring out to the damaged areas out-of-state adjusters, typically called storm chasers or catastrophe adjusters.
So an independent adjuster is kind of like a guy that has his own business and he's affiliated with a bunch of different insurance companies. They call him and he goes out and looks at these claims and then processes them and then gives the insurance company a recommendation as to how much to pay out?
That's exactly what happens. He goes out and he reports back to the insurance company with his recommendations. Then the in-house adjuster typically is the one with the authority to pay or not pay.
Right.
Okay. So why would someone want to hire a public adjuster then?
Well, think of it like this. You have two different layers, at least two different layers of adjusters that are looking out for the insurance company's position. And that's not a bad thing. That's normal. However, an individual needs that same layer of protection, someone to look out for them, someone that knows the policy, someone that knows Florida law as it applies to a policy and the profession, and to sit down and negotiate with either the independent adjuster or the company adjuster to ensure that both parties to the contract are treated fairly.
So your principal is actually the policyholder?
That's correct.
You represent the policyholder, period.
Only. That's what our license requires us to behold only to the policyholder itself.
Right. So now, what does a typical public adjuster charge for his services, and who pays them?
Well, the policyholder has to pay those costs, at least in the U.S. anyway. And so any people that hire public adjusters know that they should be capped in a catastrophe, any claim where the governor has issued an emergency declaration, those fees are capped at 10%. Otherwise, there's a cap of 20% that's in place for public adjusters' fees.
And is that something federally regulated or is that a state issue?
I mean, that's a state regulation.
So the Florida state has 10% for
emergency declarations by the governor.
Like this hurricane that just passed.
That's correct, and that lasts for 12 months.
Okay, yeah. And then 20% under normal circumstances.
Up to 20%.
Up to, okay.
The majority of the public adjusters out there will charge somewhere around 10%.
Now, you're the CEO and founder of Keys Claims, obviously, which we've worked with you guys before, and you've done a marvelous job. I just want to point that out.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. What do you guys charge, for an example?
We seldom ever charge more than 10%.
Okay.
It depends on the size of the loss. A lot of the cases that we handle are very large cases, so therefore, being they're very large cases, sometimes we can charge less than 10% and still make a decent profit.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So going back a couple minutes ago, we were talking about why hire a public adjuster. I see that, and I want to tell our listening audience, you are licensed in 23 states.
Something like that.
That's impressive. All right, so you're working, I guess, in the Texas area?
Yeah, we work all across the country. We work all over the world. We've been down in New Zealand helping people until recently. We've been down there helping people with the earthquake in Christchurch.
About the one that just happened in Mexico? Are you guys going to be dealing with that? Or
too busy here.
Before
the show, you're heading to the Keys, like what, tomorrow?
Yes, leave in the morning for the right. Keys.
Your own island, right?
That's right. Yes, that's right. My namesake.
Exactly.
And your wife's name is Florida, right?
That's right.
Yes, Florida.
That's exactly her name. Yes.
So, question, why can't I just use my insurance agent and report the claim myself?
I mean, that's typically what happens with most people.
People don't even know there are other options out there, so...
Understand this. Following an insured event, a policyholder or an insured always has a duty, either, it depends on the policy, either to report the claim upon notice of the claim or knowledge of the claim to the agent and or the insurance company themselves. And the agent's sole job is to sell and counsel one with regard to what kind of policies they need. They are not trained to handle claims. In the old days, agents used to actually have claims handling departments. I do not see that any longer unless they're very, very small claims for like tree removal and stuff.
So is it possible that a policyholder could get shortchanged on a claim?
Well, I can tell you that we seldom ever see a claim that has been paid in its entire glory that... You know, in other words, what was truly owed.
Right.
It does happen, but it's seldom. And we're the first to tell the insured, look, this adjuster has done his job. And if it's only if he's only off in a few areas, we simply point those areas out to the person because they do not need professional help.
Right, right.
A lot of times we see claims that are wrongfully denied that we come in and have that denial reversed and end up with sizable recovery.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, so obviously it would behoove everybody to go with you. But so do you think they intentionally try not to pay a claim?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. I think that it's a lack of ability or desire to do a thorough investigation, which is extremely expensive mm-hmm. and time consuming.
Especially when you're talking about Florida or Texas, when there's so much, you know, how much time do they have? I mean,
well, it's not only just the time; it's the cost.
Mm-hmm.
When we take on a claim, we spend a lot of money on investigations to look for areas that people are not just going to see with the naked eye for damages. Adjusters typically don't do that. When they do that, they know that it's going to cost a lot of money and prolong the payment on the claim.
Right, right.
So if they did that on every single one, which they should do in all fairness, they would need to hire a whole battery of experts.
Well, George, here I got a question for you, and Suzanne, too. Maybe you can join in. You got to get a little close to the mic there, though, Suzanne. Give us some examples how you guys have helped policyholders.
Well, I know you got some good stories here. Right. We've heard a couple of them.
Well, I tell you, my favorite story over my 39-year career is there was a condo association over in Boynton Beach that had been assessed $10,000 per unit owner for just dry-in of the roof because the payment from the insurance company was not enough to dry in the roof. And it traumatized a lot of the owners so much.
Well, they're on a fixed income, a lot of these retirees.
So who can afford 10 grand anyway?
They had outlived their savings and they were looking to their children mm-hmm. and other people mm-hmm. to right. help them get, you know, month to mm-hmm. month. And then when they received this $10,000 assessment, a lot of them really just flipped out. They walked away from their properties and moved back in with their children. Got reverse mortgages, a whole mm-hmm. myriad of different things.
Mm-hmm. Kind of started walking away from them, which really affects the condo association from a financial standpoint, I mean, severely.
It totally devastated the condo association. So I was reached by one of the elder people in the association, and she asked me to come out and speak to the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and when I looked at the damages, I was appalled. And so my pledge to them was that I don't know what you're going to end up with, but my pledge is I'm going to try to get you back most, if not all, of your assessment. And when I took them their check from an original offer of roughly $200,000 to about $12 million,
whoa,
that made my career because I felt that I was able to change a lot of older people's lives.
That's right. A life changer, absolutely.
That's yes. a good story. Did you charge 10% on that? Because that's a nice little chunk of change.
I think I charged 8% on that.
Did
one.
You? Well, yeah. You earned it, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I
wow.
did. And I tell you, I got a standing ovation afterwards. The people were very, very pleased.
I bet. Wow. Well, that's really a great story. But let me ask you this, just real quick. I mean, insurance companies, do they, I mean, I feel sometimes they try to pay the least amount. I mean, it's intentional. You know, I mean, I've had some claims throughout my year in real estate, and I've owned a lot of real estate investment properties, had a lot of losses. Never hired a public adjuster. I will now. But, and I've kind of navigated that process, which is very complex, I will say, by myself. And a lot of times, I believe that I didn't get what I really should have gotten. I mean, and I feel like they've intentionally tried to kind of take advantage
shorted.
Of me. Yeah, short-sighted me there on this, you know?
Well, understand that insurance is a business, and in businesses, you always look to your bottom-line profit. Not disparaging any adjuster or any insurance company out there, I can tell you that it's very rare that we ever see a case that we review where they've been paid in full. It does happen, but I've seen it more outside the U.S. than I have seen it inside the U.S.
What about overpaying?
I can tell you I've never seen one over.
Yeah, I wouldn't think right. so.
Well, they probably keep it real quiet, right? I know if I got overpaid. What about you, Tommy? If you got overpaid from the insurance, would you call him up and say, hey, look,
I think I owe you.
Oh, yeah,
I think you paid me too much.
Getting right on that one.
Yeah. I have a quick question for you, George. If I were to hire a public adjuster and then it became necessary to file a lawsuit, all right, can that adjuster, that public adjuster, handle that as well? Or do I have to hire an attorney at that point? And it sounds just very costly.
Well, there's a lot of public adjusters that are lawyers also. But the issue is this. Almost always when a public adjuster is unable to settle a claim, it will pend up to a lawsuit and it will go to a law firm. And so then the public adjuster and the attorney work together and in unison, serving totally different roles.
Right.
The attorney will handle all the legal aspects of the case, and the public adjuster will continue to be the expert witness and the policy coverage expert for that law firm in the litigation.
Well, let's talk a little bit about cost on that. Now, typically, and let's say hypothetically, you're charging 10%. Now, I know some of these lawyers have a contingency fee arrangement where they may be 25 to 35%. So, I mean, that takes the case, and almost half of it is going to go to the public adjuster and the lawyer. I mean, how do they actually fix the problem, fix the issue, fix the damage in the first place if half of the money is going to settle the claim?
That's a very good question. The issue with any time that any of my clients said that I may refer to a law firm or they ask me to refer to a law firm, I make sure that the attorney is willing to request that in any litigation that their fees be paid by the insurance company upon a successful outcome. And also, attorney's fees most often are negotiable. So if you start to hire an attorney in addition to a public adjuster, you need to ask that attorney if he's willing to negotiate his fees. At the end of the day, it's seldom that when the settlement is done that and the fees are paid that the insured cannot at least get most, if not all, the work done.
Right. So, I mean, usually the prevailing party clause kind of comes into play.
Somewhat, yes.
If they win the case. I mean, I'm not sure if that's outlined in the policy. But
yeah, somewhat. And remember that the public adjuster that you hire should be hired also on a contingency. So if they don't perform and recover money, then they should not be paid.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, are there – I know you guys do it on a contingency fee basis, right?
We do it on both, but I prefer to do it on a contingency so that I make sure that at the end of the day when I deliver what my promise was, and that was to perform, that I get paid in proportion. Some people on a larger claim want to pay me by the hour because they feel overall it's going to cost them less money.
Now, the 10% that you charge, I mean, based on a contingency fee, it's 10% hypothetically. I know you charge less, but is that based on the total amount of the claim?
No. What it is if you have, let's say you have a million-dollar claim, but you have a $200,000 deductible. We always charge our percentage based on the net $800,000.
Okay. So that would be theoretically 80%. Now, that's based on a contingency fee arrangement. Is the flat rate the same?
Well, the flat rate, you mean by the hour?
Yeah, by the hour.
No, it would just be payable on a month, typically on a monthly basis. And the client is typically a commercial client, will just pay you monthly as you invest your time.
Right, yeah. So you got an hourly rate, I presume, just like you would, like an attorney would.
Then, absolutely.
Right.
A lot of the times the contractor or the restoration company handles the claim. What are your comments?
Well,
on that,
when they get caught doing that, they'll look very good or very bad in orange because that is not a felony. They cannot, and the Florida Department of Insurance will be cracking down on that and has been cracking down, doing a very nice job in enforcing the unauthorized practice of law regulation to keep people from doing that. However, I can tell you since Irma hit, I have seen a plethora of contractors coming in either as consultants or just blatantly saying we're going to negotiate with the insurance company. That deserves to be reported to the Department of Insurance, and it will be reported for their records.
Well, especially restoration companies. I mean, a lot of times they'll say, look, don't worry about it. You do nothing. We'll give the estimates to the insurance company. We'll work with the insurance company. We'll take care of it all. Now, I'm not sure whether or not they're crossing that line, because I know you guys have a tremendous amount of licensing to be a public adjuster, or whether they're just assisting a insurance adjuster and coordinating that process and getting payment that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's my understanding under the regulations regarding unauthorized practice of public adjusting is that anyone other than a licensed public adjuster or an attorney cannot sit down and negotiate damages or claims with insurance adjusters, and nor can they hold themselves out to be able to do so.
Right.
That in itself is a violation.
That's interesting.
Okay. Tommy, I think we have some callers on the line. Let's get to one of those.
Yep. Actually, Sharon, first caller today is Julie.
Julie, hi. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, Julie. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. So my question is, what if I don't like the public adjuster that I bought? Can I fire him? Do I have to pay him for coming out and looking at the damages?
Well, the issue, that's more of a legal question, and that's not a question for me sitting here, but I can tell you that if someone did not like the services that I was providing at Keys Claims Consultants, I would gladly give them back the contract with absolutely no ties or fees owed. So
you're saying I should probably hire you then, correct?
Well, I wouldn't say that's necessary.
That would
be glad to help you.
That would be a good bet.
Well, Julie, I would say that definitely hire Keys Claims
Consultants.
You know, Julie, the issue comes down to where you know, a lot of public adjusters out there, if their ethical guidelines are close to where the typical Florida Association of Public Insurance Adjusters would be, they would step away from your claim. If you're not happy with them, that's, to me, seems grossly unfair if they would not.
Well, what I would do, Jolie, is I would go to, now, what's your website, keysclaims.com?
Keysclaims.com.
Go to keysclaims.com, give them a call, and they'll take care of you, Julie.
Yep.
Okay, do you have a phone number as well?
Well, you want a phone number? Yes, I think,
go ahead. Go ahead, George.
It's 239-774-5040.
Ask for George, Julie.
Okay, George. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Julie. Have a good evening.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening. We're going to be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Joe owns his own business and, like you, is bombarded with hundreds of insurance offers. Joe can't decide exactly what or how much coverage he needs. Joe called Aegis Insurance Group. Joe met with an Aegis business advisor, and together they designed an insurance program specifically for Joe's needs. If you're confused about your insurance needs, call Aegis Insurance Group. Aegis, insurance protection tailored for you. Call today. 1-855-227-0262.
Mitchell Insurance Services has been providing superior insurance coverage and outstanding customer service since 1971. We specialize in the unique insurance needs of community associations and homeowners associations all across the state of Florida. Contact us today for a free policy assessment to ensure you have the right coverage and are getting the credits that you deserve. Contact us today at 727-360-8190 or visit us online at mitchellinsurancefl.com. Insuring your community since 1971.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
Allegiance Development is a family-owned and operated business offering quality general contracting services in the greater Tampa Bay area. We offer a wide range of services, including commercial and residential construction, permitting, community stormwater management and repair, asphalt paving and maintenance, concrete restoration, disaster recovery, and much more. Our commitment and dedication applies to all projects, large or small. We have the expertise to offer fast and affordable solutions for all of your general contracting needs. Feel free to contact us at 727-584-1370 or visit our website at allegiancedevelopment.us.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning into our show, this tonight is all about public adjusters and what they can do for you. Our guest today is George Keyes, the CEO and founder of Keyes Claims. Okay, when the claim is settled, is the check issued in the name of the public adjuster or the policyholder? I assume there's some sort of power of attorney, and how does the logistics on that work?
Most public adjuster contracts have an authorization or an assignment of the proceeds to include the public adjuster's firm's name on the check with the insured. Okay. Typically, when the insurance company issues the check, it's made payable to the insured, any lien holder, and the public adjuster. Oftentimes, it's sent to the public adjuster, and the public adjuster is to then disperse the funds.
Kind of like what the attorneys do as well.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Tommy. We got another. Bobby was our last interview.
I know.
He looks a little like him too.
Yeah.
Hey, we got another call on the air, right?
Nan is next.
Nan, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the
Hello.
Air. What's your question? Hello.
Hi. I received a settlement on my roof claim, and I think I should have gotten more money. Can I now hire a public adjuster to go after the insurance company for more money, or is it too late once I received an offer?
Well, that's a very good question, and basically it depends on how long ago that the claim took place. If you have not done the work and the claim occurred within 3 years ago, then you can proceed forward and go after what you feel is rightfully yours.
So if she spent the check, she can't go after more, right?
No, she can. Right. Unless she signs any kind of release, which signing the back of the check would not constitute a release, she should get a professional right away to help her with that.
Well, Nan, I would suggest you call Keyes Claims. Give them a call, and they'll take a look at it and give you some advice at no charge. Right, George?
That's correct.
Right, Suzanne?
Absolutely.
All right.
Nan, I hope we answered your question. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
Thank
right,
you as
Thank
well.
You.
All right. I think we have another caller.
Mary's next.
Mary. Hi, Mary. This is the Ameritech Connection. Do you have a question for us? Hello.
Hello, Mary. You still there? I think we lost her there, Mr. Tommy. We got anybody else on the line? George, let me ask you a question. I know there's a lot of talk about the policy itself. For example, wind coverage deductibles and the face policy limits and so forth. I mean, it's complicated for most people. They look at it and it looks, I mean, I look at it and I know this stuff, and it looks like all a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Talk a little bit about the wind deductibles. I mean, for example, I mean, Irma has done some serious damage, especially in our Florida Keys. Now, if somebody's got a 3% or a 5% wind deductible, what does that actually represent?
Well, that's also a great question. I'll give you a prime example this afternoon just before I walked into the building here. I had a client call me from the East Coast that had has a just under $2 million deductible.
Wow.
It's a massive complex. But the issue is this. What I would recommend to all my clients, whether they're homeowners or whether they're in an association type setting, is to ask your agent if it's possible to buy down the deductible. That's an endorsement. Basically, you can reduce that for a very low premium, typically.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
You can say, look, I want to buy down that wind deductible to $5,000 or $10,000. And you can do that. And that's an endorsement I strongly recommend.
So I talked to my insurance company today, and we talked about, you know, some of my properties. In fact, he was in my office most of the day. And I'm going to have my properties with a 2% wind deductible.
Correct.
But I asked him that, too. I said, is there such a thing as sub-insurance for the deductible? I mean, because that can be some serious change. I mean, my understanding is, let's say the policy, the property has $1 million policy.
Correct.
The deductible at 2% is based on $1 million, right?
That's correct.
So that's $20,000 up front before the insurance even kicks in.
Well, it would certainly be deducted from any payment, so your damages would have to exceed $20,000 before you ever received any money.
Right, so if the damages were $18,000, then 5% even gets higher, and I mean, the higher you go. So you're telling me that you can buy insurance to buy that down? Or?
Absolutely.
Oh, really? Interesting.
And the issue is this, and the reason why it's so helpful is that, you know, insurance is one of those necessary evils where you know, nothing's ever going to happen until it does. So people do not want to pay any more premiums than they absolutely have to. And I get that. But I often see too many people have to try to swallow, like the $2 million deductible today that I heard about. Had they bought down the deductible, had the agent advised them to buy down the deductible, and sometimes the agents do advise them and then they turn it down because they don't want to spend the extra money.
Right.
I always suggest buying down the windstorm deductible whenever it's available.
Oh, okay. That's good advice. Thank you, George. Hey, Tommy, I think, did we get Mary back on the line?
Yeah.
Mary?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. Sorry we lost you there earlier.
No, I was here, but I was waiting so long my cheek hit the mute button on my phone.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. There's so much to talk about tonight, and so sorry for the wait.
That's okay.
What's your question?
Make sure that doesn't happen again, Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll keep my cheek away.
Yeah, that's a strange feeling, I'm sure.
All right. I had a fire in my kitchen and laundry room. I mean, a really bad fire. I think it's going to result to be like $100,000 in damages. Now, I did hire a public adjuster, and, you know, he wants 10%. So whatever number the insurance company comes up with, are they going to give me an additional 10% to pay him? And if not, where am I supposed to get the money to pay
the
public adjuster?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a great question. Typically what would happen is that the public adjuster's estimate of the damages will be written independently of the insurance company's adjuster. If your public adjuster is just taking your insurance company's estimate or their offer and then trying to take 10% of that, I would object to that if I'm you. I would ensure that that public adjuster has done something to earn his keep, such as doing his own investigation and creating his own estimate of damages or having an independent contractor do so.
But theoretically,
right,
go ahead, Mary.
But, I mean, does the insurance company really care, you know, how much I have to pay the adjuster? I mean,
the insurance company doesn't pay how much you does not care how much you pay the adjuster. The issue is this: the insurance company will have an opinion as to what they believe the damages are and what they owe you under the policy, based on the coverages within the policy. What your public adjuster's job is that if he agrees with that estimate and the offer from the insurance company, then theoretically, I would never charge someone a fee if I did not provide a service. And so what that adjuster should, the public adjuster should do is to be able to provide you his own independent investigation, which should almost always be completely different than the insurance company's adjuster, and then provide a service to you and show you the difference between what he believes the value of your loss is versus what the insurance company's value is. And then once it's settled, then the insurance company pays you based on that negotiated number. So it no longer
if they agree to it.
Well, if they either agree to it, or you can go right to. Typically, all these policies have what's called an appraisal provision in them, which is an alternative dispute resolution, and that is something that I have become very well known for. Is the appraisal? It's while it's not binding arbitration, it's very similar. And if they would not agree to that, then you're to a settlement that's proper to make you back whole. Then the public adjuster could either suggest to you to litigate the issue or to invoke that appraisal provision. And I would suggest, if you can, to invoke the appraisal provision, because that ensures that you're having a neutral party look at your damages, and it's not beholden to you, they're not beholden to the insurance company, and you get a proper settlement.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Mary's got a point, but let's say hypothetically the public adjuster comes up pretty much with the same number of $100,000 for the damage. I mean, all Mary wants to do is get her damages repaired. And theoretically, it's $100,000 to do that. So if she hires a public adjuster, gets the independent appraisal, which you guys I know are certified to do that, and it comes back to be the same number, I mean, now she's going to have to pay $110,000 to get $100,000 worth of repairs done because the insurance company is only going to pay $100,000. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, but I can tell you I've never seen that happen.
Okay.
If the public adjuster is doing his own investigation, the chances of his investigation coming back exactly the same as the insurance adjuster is far beyond what I've seen in 39 years.
All right, but even still, if the public adjuster comes back and says it's $120,000 worth of damages, and the insurance company agrees to the $120,000 worth of damages, I mean, can we get it done for $110,000 to justify the $10,000 or the $12,000 to the public adjuster? I mean, you know what I'm saying, right, Mary? You don't want to come out of pocket an extra 10%.
Right. Are these contractors going to take a discount, or do I have to do away with something in order to get him his $10,000? I mean, you know, it just doesn't, you know, connect.
It's a math issue.
That's correct. Right. Mary, the issue is better addressed by simply saying that if an ethical public adjuster, and public adjusting is like any other profession, you have really good people and you have some sour grapes, be very careful which public adjuster you hire. I can tell you that if I ever had a client that an insurance company made a full value offer on and my number was even close to that number, I would walk away and not charge a fee.
Right.
That's what I would suggest. Now, the issue where you've already signed a contract with that public adjuster and whether he's performed and gotten you any more money or not is a legal question and outside of what I'm here and licensed to do. What I would suggest to you is that I would sit down and ask the public adjuster, exactly what have you done? Because it looks to me like you are just agreeing with what the insurance companies come up with. What did you do to earn that 10%?
Right.
But, you know, the contract is so ironclad for him, you know, on their side. You know, you can only cancel within 3 days. And after that, you know, time period goes by, you know, you don't have a leg to stand on. You can't cancel, you know. And, it's just.
Yeah, Mary, what I would do if I were you is that if you're unhappy, I would seek legal counsel to give you an opinion as to whether or not there was a value added and whether or not that contract is solid. And that's what I would do.
More money for a lawyer.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, the truth of the matter is that once you get your settlement, this is possibly the saving grace. Let's say that they all agree that the damages are $100,000. And you end up with a net of $90,000, then you're not required by the policy to spend that money any certain way. Then you can determine how you want to put your house back with that $90,000. You may decide that you want to go back with a tile floor instead of a wood floor, anything like that to make up those differences.
And you may have to beat up your contractors at the same time.
And that's exactly right.
Work with them to get the price down.
I'd hate to have to scrimp because of the public adjuster.
And you should not have to.
No, you shouldn't have to.
And if your public adjuster is a FAPI, a Florida Association of Public Insurance Adjusters member, and you feel that you've been mistreated, I highly suggest that you Google that website, FAPIA, and file a complaint. Trust me, they will hold him to the standards.
Okay, Mary, I hope we've answered your question. I think we've got some other callers on the line, and I think their cheeks are falling asleep, so we better hurry up and get to them.
Thanks for hanging in there, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
All right.
Have a good night. Bye. Tommy. We have another caller on the line.
Yes, Barbara has been waiting.
Yes. Barbara, hi. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. How are you tonight?
Hi. Good evening. How are you?
Good, good. Do you have a question for us?
I do. My public adjuster told me that my claim on my roof would get settled quickly. After signing the contract, he is now saying that it could take up to 6 to 8 months. I feel like he was just leading me on just to get the contract. Can I back out at this point?
Well, I can tell you 6 to 8 months in the overall scheme of things is not a long time. All the public adjuster contracts by law have to have a three-day right of rescission. So if you're outside of that three-day and your public adjuster is still trying to do his job, I can tell you, in all fairness, that there are a lot of claims in my office that take a lot longer than that. And insurance companies a lot of times will fight a lot longer than 6 to 8 months. To me, a public adjuster should never overpromise and underdeliver. And If your public adjuster has done that, I think I would just ask him why. Why suddenly has the issue and the time constraint changed from the time he was retained?
Right. Barbara,
do you think it could change again? Could it be a year or so? Can I count on 6 to 8 months now?
I would count on what your public adjuster says and just let him know that you expect it to be done within that time frame, and you may just be looking to do something else.
Right.
Okay.
All right, Barbara, have we answered your question?
You sure have. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling and waiting online for us.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick 2-minute break. One, two, right, Tommy? We will be back in 2 minutes. Hang tight.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
At Corliss Barfield, we spent decades representing some of the most powerful insurance companies in America. Now we only represent individuals with troubled insurance claims or whose families have suffered as a result of personal injury. Battling insurance companies is our business. Look for our faces in front of juries all across America, not on cheesy billboards. Corliss Barfield Trout Group, where battling insurance companies is our business and business is good. Give us a call today.
877-517-5595 or visit us on the web at CorlissBarfield.com.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey!
What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our show is all about public adjusters and what they can do for you. Our guest today is George Keyes, CEO and founder of Keyes Claim. I got a question for you, George. A lot of association documents for condos define who pays what and when it comes to replacement of such items such as windows and doors. In fact, it's a section in the documents under boundaries. Now, I know that when there's a lot of damage, especially during a natural disaster, sometimes the documents aren't always right. Was that correct by saying that?
Well, I would phrase it a little bit differently. When you look at the condo docs, and almost without exception, everyone I've read places the responsibility on the owner of maintaining and replacing things like windows, doors, sliding glass doors, air conditioning, plumbing, those type things. And that's proper because they're the ones actually using the door inside and the air conditioning inside their unit.
Right.
Florida Statute 718.111, following an insured event, such as a hurricane or a fire or water pipe break, anything like that, those responsibilities change, and things like the sliding glass doors, the windows, plumbing, HVAC, all become owed and responsible by the master policy or the condo association.
So regardless of what it says in the documents, when you got a natural disaster that takes place, the association then becomes 100% responsible, whereas the master policy kicks in.
That's correct. Now, that changes when you have a homeowner or a co-op or anything like that. Then you stay right with the actual docs themselves.
So HOAs, homeowners associations, and co-ops and timeshares, it's a little bit different. This is just 718, which it referenced to condominiums and condominiums only.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, I know that there's some very important things that you need to do following a flood, fire, hurricane, but can you give us some of what, in your opinion, the most important things are? And we all know, take a video, take as many videos as you can, photographs, that sort of thing. But what are some of your other suggestions?
Well, you always have a duty. You have two basic duties in every policy. One is to give notice to your agent and your insurance company, but the other is to mitigate further damages. So in addition to taking the photographs and the videos and taking notes and logs of what all's going on, you want to make sure that you get notice to your broker or your agent and also your insurance company if your policy requires it. And also you need to make sure you get a good water remediation company out there to stop any further water from coming in and get that water back out of the unit before it exacts.
Right, you're not just going to let the water sit there and wait for the adjuster to come out and say, see? I mean, you're right. The statutes say you've got to mitigate the damages.
Well, the policy says that, and general insurance principles state that you have to mitigate. You can't just allow it just to continue.
Interesting. Tommy, I think we got one more caller on the line or two.
Yes, you have Kim, who was having a hard time staying awake there.
Hi, Kim.
Hey,
how are
Kim,
you?
Your cheek's not falling asleep, is it?
We had a previous caller with that.
It fell asleep a couple times, but it's awake now.
What's your question tonight?
Okay. What if I have a public adjuster and the insurance company won't pay the claim for my damages? Do I still have to pay the public adjuster?
Well, your public adjuster should be working. Did you hire your public adjuster on a contingency fee agreement?
I haven't looked at the paperwork.
I think I did.
I actually believe so.
Yeah, typically a public adjuster will come out and charge you a percentage of what he produces. So if he produces a dollar, then he should get 10% or whatever your contract calls for. They're up to the limit placed on by the state of Florida. So if he does not produce, you don't owe him any money. But you need to read your contract. So if you hired him by the hour, then he could still argue that you still owe him money. So, but if it's typically going to be on a contingency basis, then unless there's something.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I think you're okay.
You should read the agreement, though, Kim, before you execute anything.
That's right.
Yeah, that's important.
All right?
Yes.
Listen, Kim, I hope we've helped you out. Thank you so much for calling and listening in, okay?
Thank you,
All right. I'm going to go to sleep now. Thank
all
you.
All right.
Okay. Take care. George, what are some of the problems that affect your industry? I'm sure you have some good stories here.
Well, there's a lot of issues that affect our industry, and they range from bad insurance company adjusters to bad public adjusters to bad contractors to bad attorneys. The biggest thing is the inability to simply get down and do an impartial investigation and get the claims paid. What happens frequently is that people are displaced from properties following a fire, following a hurricane, following a tornado, whatever, and they really have no place to live. That creates a disadvantage for one because they need a place to go immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So they're forced in a weird kind of way to take less than what's necessary to put them back oftentimes.
Which is totally unfair.
It's unfair.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a protracted battle. And the loser in those situations is almost always the property owner because they're still displaced while everybody's fighting over their money.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, that's a travesty. And that's something that I've seen change from my carrier days early in my career.
Mm-hmm.
We used to truly try to take care of people and set them outside and put them in alternative housing and pay all their costs and take care of them. I don't see that happening anymore, and to me that's one of the worst things I see going on.
Well, there's no coverage for them to be put up somewhere, is there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Yeah, in a homeowner's policy and even a lot of other policies, you're going to have coverage for alternative or additional living expenses or loss of use.
Right. I mean, is it reasonable coverage, or do they give you like $50 a day or something like
that? No, it almost always extends as a percentage of your building coverage. So if typically if you have, and all policies are different, if you have $100,000 in coverage for your dwelling, then you probably have $10,000 worth of coverage or $25,000 worth of coverage for staying someplace else where your house is untenable.
That's interesting.
Well, I tell you, if I ever had anything happen in my home, I hope that I'm fortunate enough to have George Keys to be my advocate.
Well, you do. We're going to call George Keys.
If anything, God forbid,
happens. I'm going to call Suzanne, who's going to get a hold of George.
Yes, unfortunately, if something happens, but fortunate to have you. So.
Thank you. I would appreciate that.
George, how do you become a public adjuster? I mean, what licenses and qualifications and experience and credentials that you need in order to become a public adjuster?
Well, it's very basic. My professional career began, like I said, on the insurance company side, and I received all of my formal training from the insurance company side. But in 1992, it was a different test then that the state of Florida administered. And I began studying the test and passed the test, got fingerprinted, got bonded, followed all the regulations as to moving forward and getting my license, which still are in place today. But today, in addition to taking the test and fingerprinted and everything else, you have an apprentice program. So you, right now, it's a 12-month apprentice program that you have to go through before you can become a public adjuster.
How's the test? Is the test hard?
Yeah, the test can be tricky. Right. It's nothing like what it was in the days when I took it. It was all written then, and it was very difficult. But the law is going to change on January the 1st, as I understand it, to reduce it from a one-year apprenticeship to a six-month apprenticeship. So that'll speed that up.
Right. Well, it's interesting. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, let me tell you guys that we have another exciting show coming up next week with attorney Ted Corliss. Ted has some really good stuff, and I think he's going to talk all about sinkholes. Sharon and I will be out of town, and Ted's going to host a show. Next week only. So keep listening, folks. We'll be right back.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? You have issues. How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.